Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur six lines from the top of Daf Tes Vov. You will notice a new Mishnah. Hareini nozir l'chsheili ben v'nozir me'ayom. A person accepts upon himself nazirus upon the birth of a son. In other words, he declares, I will accept nazirus, I will practice nazirus when I have a son. And he also says, I will be a nozir for 100 days. And he starts counting his, we'll call it his personal nazirus, as opposed to the son-related nazirus. He starts counting it, nolad lo ben. And then into his counting, a son, in fact, was born to him. Bear in mind that this individual has two nazirus periods to observe. One for in honor of the birth of his son, and one, a personal 100-day nazirus. Now, a nazirus without any number attached to it is understood to be a 30-day nazirus. So, as we said, he started counting his personal nazirus, and in the interim, a son was born. Notice the order in which he accepted the nazirus. He first said that he'll be a nazirus on the occasion of having a son. So that has, we'll say, primacy in the sense of order of things. He, however, started counting his personal nazirus first, and now a son is born. Ad shivim lo hifsid klum. If the birth of the son is up till 70 days into his personal nazirus counting, then he doesn't lose anything as a result. In other words, at the 70-day mark, he will put his own nazirus on hold and then count a 30-day nazirus in honor of his son, and he'll take a haircut at the end of that, and he has 30 more days for completing his own nazirus, at which time he'll take a haircut for the completion of his personal nazirus. La'achar shivim, if, however, the birth is after 70 days, then there remains less than 30 days at the end of his son Nazirus period. Sosir shivim, he loses credit for the 70 days that he counted already, she'en tiglachas pochos mishloshim yom, because the hair growth afterwards will end up being less than 30 days, and a hair growth of less than 30 days is not sufficient for taking the nozir haircut. So we now take a look at Rashi. Lo hifsid klum, d'shloshim yoim hu d'miyasri le mimea. There remains a balance of 30 days in the case of the son being born no later than the 70th day of his personal counting. There will remain 30 days afterwards to make up the 100. Elo meniach shelo, he leaves aside the personal nazirus he counted up till 70. Umona es shel beno, he'll then count 30 for the son nazirus. Umegaleach, take a haircut. Umone shloshim, and then count the balance of 30 more days. Kidei lahashlumeo shalo. Umegaleach, and take the concluding haircut for the nazirus after that. Debeshloshim isbehu kidei gidol seir. With the balance of 30 days remaining upon the completion of his son observed Nazirus, 30 days is sufficient to warrant a Nazir conclusion haircut. Rashi continues, Aval im noyulad lo le'achar shivim, delo miyasri lehu shloishim, v'les behu gidol seyar. If the child is born more than 70 days into his personal Nazirus counting, so the balance then is going to be less than 30. And you don't have a sufficient amount of time to accomplish gidol seyar, hair growth. Shein tiglachas pochus mishloshim yom. Hilkoch, therefore, soyser es hakol. He ends up losing anything or all the days that he counted in observance of his personal nazirus up till that point. Umasulimnois es shel benoi umegaleach. In a case like that, so as we said, he lost all the credit toward his own Nazirus. He will then observe 30 days for his son birth Nazirus, and then 100 days for his own Nazirus. Vahani mili b'nazirus meruba. This is true when you're dealing with a long-term Nazirus, like a 100-day Nazirus. The personal 100-day Nazirus. Avol, b'nazirus mu'etes, eino soiser klal. If you have someone that said, I'll be a Nazir when I have a son, and I will also be a Nazir, and he mentions it's stam, unqualified, that means a personal 30-day Nazirus. And as we have learned earlier, meniach es shelo, moina es shel beno, he, let us say, counted a personal, he started, because no son was born yet, so he started his personal Nazirus, 30-day Nazirus, counted 20 days, and then a son was born, and at that point he puts the 20 days on hold. Umoina es shel beno, he'll count 30 days toward his son Nazirus, v'achakach mashlim es shelo, and then another 10 days afterwards, v'eino soser, and there's no loss, there's no losing credit, as we mentioned earlier. Why not? The time of my kid amoron. The reason is, as we've said, she'ain tiglachas bein tayim. There was no interim haircut. In other words, at the completion, after observing 20 personal days, and then the son Nazirus with a 10-day balance, he's not going to take the haircut after the 30-day son haircut, but rather wait till he finishes the additional 10 days to complete the 30 days of his own Nazirus, and therefore, since there's no interim haircut, ukechada Nazirus aricha hu, it's therefore viewed as one long Nazirus. Now, we are about to start the Gemara text, but before doing so, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangle form appears, and it represents a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track, with the point facing upwards, kushyos al rav. These represent challenges to rav's halacha. The omar rav who will have said yoim shivim oile lekan ulekan. In this gemara, we're going to get rather precise. We're going to be focusing on specific days. So, in the case of the 100-day nazirus that he started counting, we're going to be focusing on day 70, at which point then we saw his son born. So that day 70, according to Rav, Oilu Likanu Likan, means it counts as day 70, and it also counts as day 1 toward the son's Nazirus. Be'inyin Misha Nodar Lios Nozir L'Shelo Ben, V'gam Nozir L'Meshech Me'a Yom, V'Nolad B'no B'Yom Shivim. As we already explained. The inverted triangle, tshuvos, responses. So if you scan ahead, you'll notice the triangle form changes position several times. And we open up with, first we open up with Rav's din. If you, what I sometimes like to do is, I like to take a bird's eye view of the sugya before and see, where am I going to be going here? So we know with the triangle facing up, that represents a question. So you notice question, answer, question, answer, question, and then you have a long question, and you'll notice then that it ends with what seems to be a question. The Gemara then is going to ask, and we've dashed underline this six lines from the bottom, the Rav Keman Omer L'Shmaitzi. If after all is said and done, we're going to be left with a question on Rav, so then what we'll be interested in knowing is, what is Rav based on? In other words, we will have challenged Rav from Tanaic sources, and that's not a good position for Rav to be in. So the Gemara will ask at that point, well, then what is Rav based on? And Ritz Hashem, when we get there, we'll then give our little introduction. So now, the Gemara. Omar Rav, Yoim Shivim Oyle Lekan Ulekan. Day 70 will count both as day 70 and also day 1 toward the Nazirus of the sun. If we take a look in Rashi, Omar Rav, Nolad Lo Ben Biyom Shivim Oyle Loy Lekan Ulekan, Oyse Yoim Oyle Lo Leminyan Shivim, Uleminyan Shel Benoi, De L'shloishim shel beno nami mas limers bo bayom. On that day 70, it's going to be called day 70 for his personal counting, and it's also going to be called day 1 for the son 30 day nazirus. V'chein kishibo l'hashlim me'al sheloi shel'achar nazirus shel beno. And then when he comes to complete the 100 for his own nazirus, all he'll have to do is count 29 days. But now, that would seem to get us into a little bit of a problem. Well, 29 days is not enough for hair growth. So, it's what we're going to understand from what Rashi just said, the concept of one day counting toward both. When you get to day 30 of the Nazirus Beno, that day 30 is going to count also. So that when he had already counted 70 days beforehand, he had to make up 30 days. But does he have to count a full 30 days? The answer is no, because day 30 of the sun Nazirus will also count as day 1 toward that balance of 30 days. So what Rashi's pointing out is, he'll basically, he's saving himself a day. When we talk in terms of a full day, he's saving himself, whereby he'll even though he counted only 70 days before, and he has to make a total of 100, he'll essentially count only 29 more full days in observance of his personal Nazirus, because he'll have the benefit of day 30 of the sun Nazirus also as counting as day 1 toward that balance of 30. Now, the Gemara. So Rav said that Yom Shivim Oylu Lekan Lekan, and as Rashi said very importantly, it's this cool of one day counting for a personal Nazirus plus the sun Nazirus manifests itself a second time at the end of the sun counting Nazirus, where day 30 will also count as day 1 toward the balance of the final 30 days that he needs to complete his personal 100 day Nazirus. Now we ask, Tanan, Nolad lo ad shivim loy hifsid klum. The Mishnah said that if a son was born, again, we're using the same case throughout, he accepted a Nazirus in honor of the birth of a son, plus a personal 100-day Nazirus, and the Mishnah said that if he has a son up till day 70, so he doesn't lose anything as a result. If you're going to say that day 70 counts in both directions, it counts not only as day 70 for the personal haircut, for the personal Nazirus that is, plus it counts as day 1 toward the 30 days of the sun-based Nazirus, then not only does he not lose, but isguri misgar. He actually profits. He actually benefits. There's a Tosis at the last of the narrow lines. Lo hifsid klum. If you're going to say, like Rav said, that one day can count both for the personal Nazirus plus as a day for the son Nazirus, is Guri Misgar. He actually profits. Bahave le lemisni b'masnisin. The Mishnah language should have been, hirviach b'leidas haben. With the birth of the son, he actually benefits. Di lo nolad lo haben. Had there been no son born during his first, was his personal Nazirus of 100 days, lo migaleach elo ad yoim me'aviechot, kufal of his me'aviechot 101. He wouldn't be able to take a haircut until day 101. V'hashter l'fi divrei Rav, but now according to what Rav said, migaleach b'yom kuf, he's going to be able to take a haircut on day 100. In other words, on day 100 of his personal Nazirus counting days, he will be able to take a haircut. Nimso shehirviach b'leidas haben, and with that, it turns out he actually benefits with the birth of the son. The birth of the son in the interim. So umai k'omar lo hifsit. What does the Tanaic source, our Mishnah, mean when it says merely lo hifsid, that he doesn't lose out? Just to repeat, not only does he not lose out, but he actually saves a day. He'll be taking a haircut on day 100 of his personal Nazirus days because a son was born. Because, as we said, you were able to say that day 70 counts as day 70, and likewise, and also as day 1 toward the sun-oriented Nazirus, and at the end, as well, as we pointed out, when it comes to day 30 of the sun-oriented Nazirus, that's going to count as day, also as day 1 toward the balance of the 30. So he's going to end up counting just an additional 29 full days, at which point he will take a haircut then on what in effect is day 100 of his personal counting days, because those 29 full days represent the balance of what was left for his personal Nazirus. The next day would then be, in your mind's eye, day 30 of the full balance days, on which he'll already be able to take a haircut. Had there been no son birth, he would have had to count a full 100 days, when, in according to our calculation, he's going to, in effect, be counting, he had the original 70 days, and he'll count 29 more full days, 99 days in total. The next day, he'll be taking a haircut on tape on 100. Let's turn back to the Gemara. So we seem to have then a difficulty from our Mishnah on what Rav said. Rav said that Yom Shivim Ulu Lekan Ulekan, and the Mishnah doesn't seem to agree with that. The Gemara responds, Elo bedin hu delo lisni ad shivim. The language of the Mishnah of lo hifsid is really not necessarily precise. In fact, the Mishnah could have said hirviach. Umishum de kotoni seifa, but since the continuation of the Mishnah says achar shivim, soiser shivim, if the son is born after 70, then he loses all 70. Kotoni reisha shivim. Therefore, the Mishnah said shivim. So, just to repeat this last point, the Mishnah chose to say Ad Shivim Lo Hivsiklum, when technically speaking, Ad Shivim actually Hirviach. Why does the Mishnah use Lo Hivsiklum? Because in the Sefer, where the son is born after day 70, and the Nozir actually loses all the days that he counted up till that point, there we say he's Mafsid, therefore in the Resha it says Lo Hivsid. Just for, we'll say, linguistic balance. Continuing, though, in the Gemara, Toshma mi Sefer, we raise a question from the continuation of the Mishnah. It said, Nolad Achar Shivim. Now, at this point, if we just translate, Nolad means the son is born after 70. That means the son is born on day 71. Day 71 of his personal Nazirus counting. So, the Mishnah says, Soiser Shivim. He loses all of the days of his personal Nazirus. Now, let's think about that. If Rav's din is correct, that the Yom Leida, the day of the birth, is Oilu Lekanu Lekan, even if the son was born on day 71, we would still be able to say Lo Hifsid. In order to appreciate the question further, we look together at the Tosfos. Toshma mi Sefer, nolad lo li achar shivim soser, pirush mafsid. Soser means he loses. He loses the days that he counted till that point. Usvira le da achar shivim, have pirush biyom shivim viechod. When the Mishnah says after 70, the thinking is that the son is born on day 71. V'amai mafsid klum l'rav b'leidas haben. Why, according to Rav, should the individual lose anything with the birth of the son? V'ha yoyim ha'leida oyla l'kan u'l'kan. The day of the birth counts for his personal Nazirus and for as first day of the 30-day son-based Nazirus. And let's read that line again. V'ha yoyim ha'leida oyla l'kan u'l'kan. Oyla lekan ulekan, oyla nami l'tchilas hanazirus de ben. It counts also as the first of the days toward the son nazirus. Nimsoki shloishim yoim de ben, kolim biyom kuf. It turns out then that the 30 days of the sun-oriented nazirus, if you count, start your counting on day 71. And you count 71 is also 1, 72 is 2. Keep counting that way. You'll end up that on day 100, the sun-based Nazirus ends. V'yochol hashto legaleach biyom kuf aleph. And he can take a haircut on day 101. V'hashto kinola haben biyom ayin aleph, yegaleach biyom kuf aleph, hare lo hifsid klum. So, as we look at this quote from the Sefer, Nolad Achar Shivim Soiser Shivim, if Rav is correct, that we say that the day of the birth counts as 2 days in effect. Let's say the birth then is on day 71. Why does the Mishnah say he loses all the days that he counted? If the birth was on day 71, so 71 will count as exactly that day 71, and the first day toward the birth, to the Nazirus of the birth of the sun. If you count from day 71, 30 days, you end up on, we'll say, day 100 from when he began counting his personal Nazirus. How many days does he have now to make up? So he has 29 days left. So that day 100 will count as the first of the 29 days. So that's one day plus 28 more days, giving you a total of 29 days, and the next day, day 30, he would take a haircut. why then, once you have 30 days of hair growth, why should he lose out? The Gemara answers, my achar, when it's said in the Mishnah, noilad achar shivim, it doesn't mean like we thought, that the birth was on day 71, because in fact, if the birth was on day 71, the nozir would not lose. So what does achar mean? Achar. It means that if the birth is on day 72, then he would not have 30 days of hair growth after the completion of the 30 days of the sun birth. And therefore, he'll lose all the credit, all the days that he counted, all 72 days that he had counted toward his personal 100-day Nazirus. But if it's a birth on day 71, so as we said, he doesn't lose. And if it's a birth on day 70, so he ends up actually gaining, having to really observe only 99 full days of personal Nazirus. The Gemara asks a question, though. Aval achar mamish mai, if the birth was on day 71, hochi nami delo sosar, are you going to then insist that there is no losing out? Ihochi, my irya detoni nolad ad shivim lo hifsid klum. Why then does the Mishnah say that a birth until 70 he doesn't lose out? Afilu achar shivim nami ho amris lo sosar, even a birth on day 71. We demonstrated that if Rav is correct, there would be no losing out. Ela shma mino, from the fact that the Mishnah teaches that only up till day 70 is there no losing out, achar equals mamish, that if the birth is on day 71, then he does lose out, then he is soser. V'chein masnisin l'rav shma mino. And the language of the Mishnah, in fact, even according to Rav, would seem to indicate that. And in simpler terms, the Mishnah is a difficulty for Rav. So, can we leave Rav hanging like that? Where did Rav get his idea that one day can count for both? As he said, Yoyim Shivim Ula Lekan Ulekan. If that principle were correct, so then it would apply to a case of a birth even after Shivim, and there would be no losing out. But our Mishnah didn't teach like that. So who is Rav based on? The Rav Keman Omro Lishmaitse. Therefore, the Gemara asks, Rav is based on whom? And on the side of the Gemara, you see we have a Mivne, a structural note. And again, we have a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. With the house form point facing up, these are nisyonos, attempts, tshuvos, answers, l'mtsoi bosis l'rav, to find a basis for Rav, d'yoyim shivim oyle l'kan u'l'kan. You'll notice the house form inverting, it represents d'chios or kushios, either rejections of what was said or the raising of a question. And if you scan ahead, like we suggested before, to get your bird's eye view of the Gemara, you notice that this, we'll say this routine continues down Omid Beis. So the Gemara continues, Ilema ke'abashol, if the basis of Rav is in Abba Shol, a Tana, that we'll see in the following Tanaic source. Do note that Abba Shol will appear at the top of Omid Beis. So, before we get to that, we see a Tana Kam, a first opinion regarding halachas that are relevant to mourning. That's M-O-U-R-N, mourning. One who buries his relative, as everyone, I'm sure, knows, upon the death of a relative, there are laws that we refer to as Shiva, Shloshim, 7 days of mourning, and then an additional 30 days where there are certain restrictions. And what happens if a burial of a close one, of a relative, takes place in the proximity or close to the onset of a holiday? There's a concept in halacha that public joy, as is manifest by the holidays, public joy overrules or cancels private mourning. So here we go on with a source. Hakoveres Mesoi Shloisha Yomim Koidim L'Regel. If a person buries his dead 3 days before a holiday, that 3 days before the holiday, so during those 3 days, so he'll observe what we call the laws of Shiva, the first 7 days of mourning. There are numerous halachas that are associated with that period of time, including sitting on the ground and no business, etc. There's in fact a large section of Maseches Moed Katan that's dedicated to these halachas. You find that in the third perek of Moed Katan. So 3 days before the holiday, when the holiday sets in, Botla Mimenu Gzeiras Shiva, the rest of the rules that apply to that first week of mourning are canceled, so that in effect a person will have observed only 3 days of mourning. Shmoina Yomim Kodem L'Regel, if a person buried the relative 8 days before the holiday, so he in effect has completed the 7 mourning days, and the 8th day is a day that we'll say contains within it less restriction than the first 7 days, but all the same, there is restriction concerning haircuts and the washing of clothing. Kibbutz. So, if a person buried an individual's relative 8 days before the holiday, so then the halach is botlo mimenu gzeiras shloshim. The rules that apply to the 30-day, with lesser mourning period, but the 30-day mourning period, those rules are also suspended, because with the onset of the holiday, so that cancels the need for observing the restrictions of what we call the shloshim. Umuter l'saper erev haregel, and it is allowed. Here is a leniency. It's mutter for one to take a haircut before the holiday. So that what happened here is you have someone that was buried 8 days before the holiday. Day 8 represents the Erev Horegel. So we allow him to... We said that the holiday suspends. What about the day right before the holiday? So the source tells us that it's mutter l'saper of a regel. He is allowed to take a haircut on that day because of honor to the holiday, the erev haregel, the eve of the holiday. V'im lo siper of a regel, if he doesn't take advantage of that, then osur l'saper acharegel. He cannot take a haircut after the holiday until day 30. At the top of Omid Beis, Abashol Oimer, Afilu Lo Siper Kodim Horegel, even if you didn't take the haircut before the holiday, Mutur L'Saper Acha Horegel. You still are allowed to take the haircut after the holiday. Abashol is, we'll say, more lenient than the Tanakama in that respect, that even if you didn't take the haircut in honor of the holiday. Before the holiday, you don't lose the haircut right. And another point of difference is as follows, the calculations. Shekashem shemitzvas shloisha mevatelas gzeras shiva, just like the 3 days prior to the holiday results in the total voidance of the rules of Shiva, kach mitzvas Shiva mevateles gzeras shloshim. So too, mitzvas Shiva, that means 7 days prior to the holiday, will result in the total cancellation of the rules of shloshim. As we mentioned before, the rules of shloshim involve a haircut restrictions and certain types of, let's say, clothing pressing, we said before, washing. Tosfos in Moseches Mikot Dav Chof Gimel says that it's really a reference to gihutz, which is a higher form of clothing laundering. Now, what did Abba Shoal say? He said that 7 days before the holiday cancels the observance of the rules of Shloshim. My time on the Abba Shoal. What is the basis for Abba Shoal? Let me just say that in light of the Tanakama, who said that in order for us to say that the holiday will cancel Shloshim, the Tanakama was of the opinion you have to have a day that's Shloshim oriented, namely day 8, when the Avelus of 7, the Shiva, is finished. So you have a day that's, we'll say, characteristic of purely Shloshim observance. That one day, day 8, that one day of pure Shloshim observance is sufficient for the holiday to then come along and cancel the need to continue observing the restrictions of the Shloshim, of the 30 days. Abba Shoal says that not just 8 days before the holiday, but even 7 days before the holiday, effect of the holiday is to cancel the Gzeras Shloshim. And the Gemara asks, what is the basis of Abba Shoal? Lav Mishum de Kosovar, is it not because he holds that Shvi'i Oile Lekan Ulekan, that day 7 of mourning counts as day 7, but it also counts as day 1 toward the Shloshim. So, if you are looking for a Shita in Tanoim that views one day as containing, say, 2 days of counting, two different forms of counting that one gets credit for on one day, there you go. You found it in the form of Abba Shoal. And Rav then could be based on Abba Shoal. Just like Rav said, Yoyim Shivim Oilu Lekanu Lekan, that 70th day counts as day 70 for your personal Naziris and day 1 for the child, for the son birth based Naziris. The basis for that type of thinking might very well be Abba Shoal, who says that day 7 of mourning can count as day 7 plus day 1 vis-a-vis the rules of Shloshim. The Gemara rejects this. He rejects this parallel. Dilma ad kan lo kamar Abba Shoal. It could be that Abba Shoal said what he did, Elo ba'avelus zayin de Rabbonan, only with regard to the rules of 7 days of mourning, which are basically rabbinic. From the Torah's perspective, there's only really one day of mourning. But rabbinically, there are 7 days, and therefore, since you're in a rabbinic realm, we have this, we'll say, flexibility or elasticity of viewing one day as if it's representative of two. Avo ben Nozir del Raisalo, but when it comes to observing Nozir, which one accepted upon himself as a Nozir vow, that is a Torah level requirement. And Torah level requirements have greater stringency attached to them than rabbinic realms. So just because Abba Shoal may be lenient with regard to the rules of mourning, that doesn't dictate that he necessarily would be lenient with regard to how you count Nazirus. Elo Rav, di Omar Kereb Yosi. So the Gemara says that Rav is based on a different Tana, based on Reb Yosi. And here we're going to speak about a Torah level area of law. This has to do with the realm of Korban Pesach as pertains to someone that became defiled, that became Tomei. The realm that the Gemara alludes to is a realm of Tumas and Taras, realm of ritual purity that requires, in truth, quite an extensive amount of background. Within the context of Gemara markings, we strive to keep things as, we'll say, simple and straightforward as possible, and not to overburden ourselves with too much detail, especially in view of the fact that we are full of hope that one is going to learn the entire Shas and be exposed to these areas in their own location. That having been said, we're talking about a woman who, after her 7 days of Nida, the menstrual period, and I should caution that we're dealing strictly with Torah level laws. The realm of family purity when it comes to actual halacha lemaisa is very different, it's very much more machmir than that which the Torah itself expects. That's beyond the realm of our Gemara markings shir, but for our purposes, by way of disclaimer, we're speaking on a purely Torah level, not halacha lemaisa. So a woman, when she completes the 7 days that are characteristic of the Nida period, during which she is Tameah, forbidden to her husband, the next 11 days are days that she potentially can become a Zava. And if she has a day of sighting of blood, then she's Tameah on that day, and she is expected to observe the next day in, let's say, guarding or watching out to see that there is, or better, that there is no blood flow. That's called Shomeris Yoim Keneged Yom. Literally, she's guarding or keeping her guard on one day because of a day that she saw. So for any, if she saw Dam on one day during that time, meaning the 11 days that follow the 7 days of Nida, she has to observe another day in cleanliness, in non-blood sighting. In the case at hand, we're going to speak about the timing of this on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is the day on which the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, is slaughtered. Now, with that amount of background, let's see if we can make a little headway in the Gemara. Tesanya, Reb Yosi Oimer, Shemeres Yoim Keneged Yom. And we should have pointed out that on that second day of Shomeres Yom, of guarding against seeing any blood, on that day, so she is considered forbidden to her husband. She's considered Tameah. And technically speaking, she can become Tohor by immersing herself in the mikveh and then experiencing sundown, at which time she becomes Muteris, she becomes purified. But now we have a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. She's on that second day after having seen the blood on the day before, and it's the 14th of Nisan. the day of slaughtering the Korban Pesach, for a person to be, let's say, fulfill the rules of Korban Pesach, so they would have to be tohor. They have to be certainly tohor by the evening, at which time they could then eat the Korban Pesach. But now, it says here that a shemeres yom keneg yom sheshachtu v'zorko leo b'sheni shela. On her second day, they slaughtered and did the blood sprinkling on her behalf of the Korban Pesach. V'achar kach ro'aso. And on that later that day, in other words, the second day set in, there was no blood flow in the morning, and the noontime arrived, and they then, after noon, they did the Korban Pesach for her, and then later that day, after they processed the Korban Pesach on her behalf, she saw blood. The ruling is, Hare zu eina ocheles, she cannot partake of the Korban Pesach at night, because, well, having seen dam on that day, that requires her to observe another clean day. So she, that by the night that follows this sighting, she is not tor anymore. So it says she cannot eat from the Korban Pesach, which demands tahara, purification, purity. However, interestingly, it says uptura milasus Pesach sheni. She's exempt from the Pesach sheni requirement. Maybe a word about Pesach sheni. Pesach sheni is the 14th of Iyar, the month following Nisan, the month in which Pesach occurs. And the 14th of Iyar is a day designed as a makeup day for people who, as individuals, were defiled on the 14th of Nisan. Now, this woman, was she defiled on the 14th of Nisan? Well, yeah, because we said later that day, on the 14th of Nisan, which was her Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom day, she saw blood later on that day. Yet it says here, Rabbi Yossi tells us, that this woman is exempt from Pesach Sheni. My time of the Rabbi Yossi, why is she exempt from Pesach Sheni? If, after all, on that second day, that Shomeres Yom Keneg Yom, she saw blood later that very day, how can Rabbi Yossi say she's exempt from Pesach Sheni? My time of the Rabbi Yossi, Lav Mishum de Kosovar, is it not because he holds Mikzas Hayom Kekulo? Part of the day, namely the first part of the day, there was no blood sighting. There was no blood sighting up till the point that they did the Korban Pesach. Umikan ula habo hu metame. And only from the actual sighting onwards is she considered tameya, she considered defiled. But prior to that point in time, she had not seen blood, and she had reached the afternoon hours, the time that's appropriate for the Korban Pesach, and she had a Korban Pesach processed on her behalf. We should point out parenthetically that the eating of the Korban Pesach that one does later that day, namely at night, is not me'akev. It's not a binding aspect of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So this woman was Yotze, the dean of Korban Pesach, even though later that day she became Tamea. So how does that operate? It must be because part of the day is considered like a full day of cleanness as far as the woman is concerned. So what do we see then? We have one day that is in effect, or we can view as 2 days. And this would be a doraisa, a Torah level basis for Rav, who said, Yoyim Shivim Oilu Lekan Ulekan. The Gemara asks, Umi Sofer Rabbi Yossi Hachi? Does Rabbi Yossi really hold like that? V'hotanya, Reb Yosi Oimer, Zav Baal Shtei Rios. A Zav, who... Zav is a man who had a certain type of male emission. And the male emission spoken of here is called Zav, or Ziva. And if there are two Ziva sightings, a man is then expected to observe 7 clean days where there are no further sightings for 7 consecutive days. Once again, we find ourselves on Erev Pesach. So Rabbi Yossi says, Zav Baal Shtei Rios, Sheshachtu V'Zorku Alav B'Shvi'i, they slaughtered and did the blood sprinkling of the Zav, who reached his 7th clean day. V'chein Shomeres Yom K'neged Yom, Sheshachtu V'Zorku Alav, we had the case before of the Shomeres Yom K'neged Yom, that they slaughtered and did the blood sprinkling of the Korban Pesach. V'achar kach ro'u, and then later that day, they saw blood, or the man saw the Ziva sighting. Afal pi shemitamin mishkav u'moshav l'mafreya, pturin milasos Pesach sheni. Now here we dashed underline the main problem. The main problem is the word l'mafreya. It says in this source that it's true they're exempt from doing the Pesach Sheni because at the point at which the Korban Pesach was slaughtered for them, they had been, we'll say, in a non-tomei mode. However, it says in this source that Mishkav u'Moshav, that means it's a reference to beds and other articles of furniture that one sits on. It says, Afal pisha metamin mishkov u'moshav u'mafreya. That means if they had sat earlier, before the sighting, they had sat on a bed, and then later that day they had their respective type sightings, the male sighting, the female blood sighting. Those beds retroactively become tomei. Even though when they sat on the bed, they had not yet experienced the flow that defiles them. Nevertheless, retroactively, when later that day the flow appears, the body flow, male emission or the female blood flow, the beds and chairs that they had sat on become defiled. So, what do you see from here? Not like we suggested before, that mikan ulahabohu metame, that only from the time of sighting onwards is there tuma. Here you see that even though the sighting was later that day, the tuma has a retroactive impact. The Gemara responds, "My l'mafreya." Midrabbanan. This idea of retroactive tuma is merely rabbinic, so that on a Torah level there isn't any retroactive tuma. And as we said before, Rav could find as a basis for his teaching of Yom Shivim Oilu Lekan Ulekan in the form of Rabbi Yossi. We have a bracketed section, and the note on the side says that we've written in. So Graim Elu Einom L'Shem Dilug. These are not brackets for skipping purposes. Elo Laharois She'ikur HaDiyun Histayim. The main discussion finished at this point. For Rav Mitbasei Sol Shitas Rabbi Yossi, and Rav is really based on Rabbi Yossi, as we pointed out. But Tochaso Graim Move on Nisayin Lomar Chinam V'Stabra V'Zen Nidche. Within the brackets, there's an attempt on the part of the Gemara to say that this answer is likely, is reasonable, but that is rejected. So let's now continue with the bracketed section. Hachi Nami Mistabra. In other words, the explanation we just gave concerning the Tumas Mishkav Moshev L'mafreya is Durabonon is most likely. If there was Tuma on a retroactive basis, on a Torah level, Amai Pturin Lasas Pesach Sheni. Why would they be exempt from doing the Pesach Sheni. If they are considered Tomei retroactively on a Torah level, so then they would be considered Tomei from the very beginning of the day. And hence they would get no Pesach, Korban Pesach credit. Why would they? And therefore they would need to bring the Korban Pesach on Yud Dalet Iyar Pesach Sheni. The Oilom Ei Moloch Tuma Doraisa, I will tell you that there is retroactive Tuma on a Torah level. You'll ask then, why are they exempt from Pesach Sheni? Because of the following. Tahoim Deziva Hitiru. Tahoim literally means the depths. You find the expression Tumas HaTahoim in more often in the context of defilement to the dead. The classic example is someone was sitting on, let us say, sitting on a rock, and later it was discovered that deep in the ground there was a body buried. It's a situation of tumah that no one knew about. Tumah, as we said, down in the depths. You can see the Tosfos explains HaTahoim. We're looking at Tosfos in the wide section under the Gemara, beginning of the line HaTahoim, halfway down the wide section of Tosfos. Pirush the Bishas Shchita, when the Korban Pesach was being slaughtered, Yoshav al Evan Achas, he sat on a rock. Lo noda klal shekever tachtov, and it was not known to anybody that there was a grave under that rock. And a grave is that which would ordinarily render defilement. The impurity of the corpse rises and will mitama, will defile he who is above it. So in this case, someone sat on a rock and there was a grave underneath the rock that no one knew about. Ad achar shchita noda lo shenitma bekever hatahom. Until after the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, then it became known that he had been defiled by that which was in the depths. V'chein hocha. Now here in our sukkah, we're not talking about tumas meis, defilement to the dead. We're talking about ziva, these different types of emissions. So where do you find the concept of tahom here? So Tosfos says, likewise over here, lo yoda odom b'shas shchita, no one knew that at the time of shchita, im acharechein tireh the tistor lios tameo, whether she would see a blood flow later, no one knew about that. Unless you're a prophet, you won't know about the future. So at the time of Shechita, it wasn't known that later that day she would have a sighting and thereby undo the shmira, the observance of cleanliness up till that point. And no one knew about that. The tistor lios tamea, the tumas hatahom hitiru leoseya pesach venozir. There are leniencies with regard to those who need to do a Korban Pesach, and with regard to a Nozir within this realm of, we'll call it the realm of the unknown, the realm of the unknown Tuma. And we just applied it, whether it be in the case of Tumas Meis sitting on the rock and discovering later on it was a corpse buried deep under it, or the case of the emission or blood flow that set in after the Korban Pesach was processed. So in the case of Tumas HaTahom, there is a leniency. And that's why they get credit for having done the Korban Pesach. But as far as the retroactive characteristic of the Tumah vis-a-vis other things, that is not necessarily only rabbinic. That might very well be D'oraisa. Fi'af Rebushaya Sovar Lemafreya Midarabonan. Here we have a long point. We gave the explanation before as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, the Tumas Mishkav and Moshe of the beds and chairs that became Tomei retroactively. The Gemara said, well, that retroactive Tuma is only rabbinic. It's true that with to suggest that that is, we'll say, that analysis is on solid footing, we just demonstrate how that might not be the case. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that Rav Hoshaya does hold from that approach, that Lemafreya is Midorabonan. We have a long point, take note of that, that takes you to the third line from the top of Daf Tes Zayin. And by the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara, making a long point. The Af Rav Hoshaya Savar Lemafreya Midorabonan. Rav Hoshaya is also of the opinion that Tumah spoken about with regard to the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom and the Zav Shro Baal Shtei Rios, the Tumah that's retroactive is only rabbinic. The Sanya Rebbe Hoshaya Oimer Zav Haroya Bishvi Shaloi Seiser Es Shelefonov. A Zav who needed to observe 7 clean days, and on the 7th day, practically home free, he has a sighting. And the source says, Soyser es Shelefonov. It causes him to lose the counting from before. V'yomar le Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Hoshaya, now we have a bracketed section with the language within the brackets, it's not clear. Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo nistar v'lo yomo. He should not lose anything. The Gemara continues at the top of Tezai Malalaf, the Omar Lay, and Rabbi Hoshaya said, oh, you're suggesting that the Zav that has a sighting on the 7th day of his clean days should not lose anything, shouldn't lose the counting. So Rabbi Hoshaya says, Rabbi Yossi koi kavosech, Rabbi Yossi is of a like mind, like you. Diyomar mikan ulabo metame. Rabbi Yossi says that the tumah that he is going to experience is only from that time onwards. Let's go over the bracketed section that we skipped. Rabbi Hoshaya cited, he taught a source that said that a zav who had a sighting of Ziva, the male emission that renders Tumah after having observed almost full 7 days, on the 7th day he has a sighting, and in the source it said Soyser es Shelefonov. V'yomar le Rabbi Yochanan lo nistor elo yomo. He should lose out only one day. In other words, according to this, if he has a sighting on day 7, he won't be considered Tohor at the end of the 7th day. Rather, he'll observe the 8th day, one day. He loses out, he should lose out only one day, meaning he'll have to observe the 8th day as a clean day and then immerse himself in a mikveh and then become Tohor. The Gemara asks on this suggestion, Marav Shach, either way you look at things, Isosar, if the sighting on the 7th day is going to result in soser, in losing out, then kulu soser, he should lose out all the clean days, get no credit for any of the counting that he did. E lo soser, then lo nistar v'lo yomo. If it's not capable of erasing the clean days that he observed, then he shouldn't have to lose out even one day. So what is Rabbi Yochanan suggests when he says lo nistor elo yomo, elo emo, but rather we have to refine what Rabbi Yochanan was suggesting. Lo nistor velo yomo. He should lose nothing. After all, he observed 7 days, and on the 7th day, the latter part of the day, so he had a sighting. He shouldn't have to lose out anything. Namely, what does that mean practically speaking? It means that from the sighting on the 7th day onwards, he'll be Tomei, but retroactively, complete Tahara. We continue in the Gemara. We're at the top of Tes Zayin Amar Aleph, the Omar Lei, and Rabbi Hoshaya says to Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Rabbi Yossi Kavoi Kavosech. Rabbi Yossi holds like you, the Omar Mikan Ulahabo Metame. That there isn't any losing out per se. all that happens is that at the point of the sighting, from that point onwards, he becomes Tomei, but retroactively, nothing is affected. The Gemara asks, V'ha Rabbi Yossi l'mafreya hu d'amar, but we saw Rabbi Yossi himself say that there was Tuma l'mafreya. There was retroactive Tuma. The Gemara answers, Mai l'mafreya midrabbanan. L'mafreya means retroactive, but only on a rabbinic level. It's a rabbinic stringency, but not the essence of the law on a Torah level. The Gemara asks, you'll notice the question lasts a couple of lines. V'Rabbi Yossi, michti, sovar mitzas hayom kuhulo. Rabbi Yossi holds that part of the day is like a complete day. We take a look at Rashi at the top line. Rabbi Yossi, michti, sovar mitzas hayom kuhulo. D'chol hai d'komishanin in li'el. Everything that we've said till now, the mikanu labo metame, that only from the sighting onwards is there tuma, shinui dechiki ninhu. It's, we'll say, difficult or hard-pressed answers. Umiu shmeitzin isa kerav. Nevertheless, the sugya, the halacha that we've learned here is necessary. It comes to give us, serve as a basis for Rav, who had spoken about Yom Shivim Oyla Lekan Ulekan. So now, we continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Mitzas Hayom Kukulo, that as far as the Tuma is concerned, the part of the day that was observed in Tahara is considered like an entire day of Tahara. And we had mentioned that the Tuma spoken about regarding chairs that she had sat on earlier that day, that they become Tomei, L'mafreya, that's only on a rabbinic level. Zova Gemura, the Maisa Korban, Hechi Mishkachas Lo. The Zova Gemura is a woman we had spoken about. After the 7 days of Nidah, the Ziva period sets in. If she sees blood on one day, she has to observe the next day without a blood sighting. Let us say, not only one day does she see blood, but she sees on the second day, and she sees on a third day, three consecutive days of blood. She becomes what's called a Zova Gemura. And a Zova Gemura has to observe, the woman has to observe seven blood-free, clean days, at the conclusion of which she brings on the eighth day a sacrifice, a korban. But now, according to Rabbi Yossi, who says mixas hayom kikul, that part of a clean day is viewed as a total clean day. Zova Gemura de Maisa Korban Hechi Mishkachas Lo. The case of the Zova Gemura, that means three consecutive days during the Ziva period. The Ziva period, as we said before, are the days that follow, 11 days that follow the Nidah period, the seven menstrual days. During this subsequent 11 days, how, according to Rabbi Yossi, will she, in practical terms, how will she become a Zova Gemura? The Zova Gemura is a phenomenon that the Torah speaks about. What's the problem? Kevon dechazia bepalga deyoma. If a woman has a blood sighting at midday, idoch palge deyoma solik lo l'shimor. The balance of the day, since you hold mixas hayom kikulo, part of a day, is like a complete day, so that would count toward her cleanness. The Rashi explains further, v'ha'kevan d'chazi b'palgu d'yoma b'yom sheni mi'chatzos v'eilich. If a woman, let us say, was a shemeres yom keneged yom, so she had a blood sighting on day one. day two comes around, and later in the day, the second half of the day, she has an additional sighting. That's what Rashi says, Biyom Sheni Mechatzus Vilech, she sees blood. Idach Palga Demi Boker Ad Chatzos, the first half of the day, from morning until midday, Oilala Lushimor Kilu Nishmar Yoim Echot Betara. That would count as a clean day. Vahave law hefsik. It would be then a break in the supposed chain of 3 days. So, Zova Gemura, we know, is a situation of 3 consecutive days where there was blood sighting. But according to Rabbi Yossi, who says, Mixas Hayom Kikulo, that part of the day counts as a full day, how will you ever create how can there ever come into being a Zova Gedola, a 3 consecutive day of sighting? Since after seeing Dam on day one, day two comes about. She sees, let's say, in the latter half of the day, but the first half of the day was blood free, and half a day is considered like a whole day. So that's considered as if day one, which generated a requirement of a day two being observed as clean, so it was observed as clean. Okay, later that day she saw blood. That's considered a new beginning, because day one's blood sighting was I don't know if I want to say cleaned up, but it was solved or purified by the fact that the first part of day two, the following day, was observed as blood free. If it's blood free, mixes hayom kukula, part of a day is like an entire day. So the woman had the required second day of clean observance fulfilled. And the Gemara continues, Idoch palge diyoma solik lo l'shimor. That means the first part of the day where there was no blood, that would count as her shimor. The term shomeris yom keneged yom. Being that that's the case, so you don't really have ever 3 consecutive days of blood sighting. Because any time that day two sets in and the first part of the day was blood free, so that counts as her clean day. If there's blood sighting later in the day, that's a new event. It's a new starting. The Gemara answers, Eboy Seima, one approach is Dekoshofa Tlosa Tlosa Yoimi Bahadi Adadi. If you want to know how you can find a Zova Gemura, how that can come into existence, this is a woman that experienced 3 consecutive days of non-stop blood flow. Well, it sounds like there was a pretty major blood loss. Nevertheless, that's an example of a woman that doesn't have the first part of a day as being blood free. So on day one, she started a blood flow, and the blood flow continued into day two. With the sunset leading into day two, the entire night and day, there was a blood flow. And the same thing happened the following day. So you have 3 consecutive days without any blood stoppage, robbing us of the possibility of saying mixus hayon kikul, that part of a day in cleanness is considered an entire clean day. She didn't have that here. The boyasema, another scenario, which is, we'll say, more healthful with much less blood loss, is the following scenario. Dechazia tlosa yoimi samuch lishkia sachama. De lohav yesheus de solik le leminyona. She saw blood 3 consecutive days at the time of sundown. So let's just imagine on day one she had a blood flow, then as the sun set and the 3 stars came out introducing the next day, the blood during those minutes there was continuous blood flow. So when day two was beginning, day two begins at the appearance of 3 stars, when day two was beginning, so it was defiled already from the very beginning. So we don't have the beginning of a second day, which we can call a clean day. So that's the idea of three consecutive days of blood flow around the time of Shkiyas HaChama. So day one, and a blood flow that led right into day two. And here it's not major loss of blood. It's you're dealing with a matter of minutes from sundown till the appearance of three stars. That segment of time was characterized by the woman experiencing blood flow. So day one, you have blood flow. Right at the beginning of day two, blood flow. So that you don't have a mixus hayom in cleanness. And then at the end of day two, the blood started to flow into day three. So that day three is a tomei day. So day one is tomei, day two is tomei, without any beginning of the day in a state of tahara. On day three, right at the beginning of it, there is already, again, a blood flow. So you have three consecutive days. Besides the first day, the subsequent days, there was blood appearance at the very beginning of each one of those subsequent days, thereby not enabling a period of cleanness for us to label it as the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, the clean day, having been observed on the heels of a blood day. So that's what the Gemara means with its concluding expression. There wasn't any time to sell claim. None of it should count toward the number of required clean days. We look together at Rashi. Biboy Seimo, Shloshi Yemi, Beina Shmosh Yisomuch Yisachamo, 3 days, one after the other, there was blood flow around sunset time. Dechirasa Shabbos Achar Shkiyasachamo. If she saw, let us say, after sundown, following Shabbos, Havetameo Kol Yoim Rishon, that makes her defiled for the entire Sunday. The Chichazra V'rasa B'Yoim Rishon Sheinis Omer Shias Chama, and when on Sunday, toward the end of the day, around the time of sunset, she sees blood, so Havetameo Kol Yoim Sheini, she becomes Tameo for the entire second day. So day one was already defiled. Day two was defiled from the very outset. V'chein shlishi, and likewise at the end of Monday into Tuesday, after having established that Sunday was defiled, Monday defiled, and then into Tuesday, sundown of Monday into Tuesday, there was a blood flow. There was no time for purification in the interim, klal at all. And there was no time to give her credit for a clean day following a blood day. There was no time of that. There was no time at the beginning of any of those subsequent days. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.